Do you know how to make your bones stronger and more fracture resistant? This is an important issue because thinning bones is something that affects pretty much all older adults, and that includes men, as they age. So in this video, I'll tell you what you can do to strengthen your bones and prevent fractures. Well, hello there, everyone. I'm Dr. Leslie Kernison, board-certified geriatrician and founder of the website betterhealthwhileaging.net. And this is the Better Health While Aging video podcast, where we discuss common health problems that affect people over the age of 60 and the best ways to prevent and manage those problems. In today's episode, I want to talk about boosting bone density to prevent fractures in later life. As you probably know, our bones tend to become thinner as we age. Actually, they almost certainly will become thinner as we age. And if this gets bad enough, it's called osteoporosis. And if we're not careful, this can lead to fractures, some of which can be life-changing, such as hip fractures, in later life. Now, this is sometimes thought of as an issue that's for older women to worry about, but in fact, decreased bone density and related fractures definitely affect men as well. It's just something that happens a little bit later in life than men than for women. But if you live long enough as a man, this is going to become an issue for you as well. So being aware of bone density and knowing how and when to take action to improve it is important for all older adults, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. Specifically, in this episode, I'm going to explain how bone density changes with aging and why. I'm going to go over how you can check on your bone density so you know how urgent it is for you to address this. I'm going to talk about the terms osteopenia versus osteoporosis, and then I'm going to go into the most effective ways to improve your bone density in later life. And then at the end, I'm going to talk about my recommendations, what you can do if you're concerned. So we'll get started with that. But before I get into it, I have a very quick request, which is if you're here, you find this topic interesting, or you've been finding my video podcast interesting, if you haven't subscribed yet, if you could go ahead and subscribe, it would mean a lot to me. It does help other people find the channel when you subscribe, and it helps support the work I'm doing. Another option, if you appreciate the videos, is to become a member of the Better Health While Aging channel. And to do that, just click the join button under this video. Okay, bone density and aging. So what is the deal with this? So one thing that is really important to understand, and most lay people don't know this, is that bones are actually dynamic. So they look very solid, but your bones don't stay the same throughout your whole life. In fact, your bone cells are constantly in action. And at a cellular level, at a microscopic level, bones are constantly regenerating. There is a coupled process of bone resorption, so where bones get broken down by cells called osteoclasts, and then bone formation, when they are rebuilt by cells called osteoblasts. And it's the balance of those two processes during our life which determines whether our bones are slowly getting more dense and stronger or less and less dense, thinner and weaker. So in early life, for children, as we're growing up, generally into our 20s, the creation outpaces the resorption. And so over time, bones are getting denser and denser, stronger and stronger. And peak bone mass is generally going to occur at some point when people are in their 20s. It's partly related to, you know, when people have puberty and hormones and other things, but it does continue. Bones do continue to get denser after people stop growing. And at some point in one's 20s, one has the peak bone mass. How much peak bone mass you can accumulate is important in that later, as your bones start to slowly, you know, weaken over time. If you start from a stronger foundation, it takes longer for you to get to a point where they're weak enough that they're quite easy to break. So after the 20s, people's bones aren't increasing in density. Usually the sort of process of them breaking down and being reformed is more or less in balance, unless there are bad lifestyle factors at play. And I'm going to talk about those in a little bit. And as people go through midlife, their bone density is sort of very gradually going down. But then what happens is, especially for women, when women hit menopause, they have a fairly sudden drop in estrogen. Estrogen really helps maintain bones. Women also experience a drop in testosterone. Testosterone also helps maintain bones. And for that reason, women can have like a much steeper decline in bone density in those postmenopausal years. And then what happens is that later in life, around the 70s, both sexes, men and women, start to experience gradual age-related bone loss in the later decades of life. This is because, again, sex hormones are still going down during that stage. But also there are other changes related to sort of aging physiology. I'm not going to go into all the details that tend to accelerate this process of the bones becoming slowly thinner as time goes on. The result being that when people are in their 80s, both men and women can be experiencing thinner bones, what is sometimes called osteopenia, or even bones that have gone so thin that they might qualify for the diagnosis of osteoporosis. So how do we check bone density to find out where a person is at? It's a near certainty that their bones are going to be less dense at age 80 than they were at age 50. But how much less dense have they gotten? When, you know, how do we know when it's, you know, problematic or really concerning? So to check bone density, generally, we're going to use a test called a DEXA scan. And that is a special type of low-dose x-ray that typically evaluates the density of the bone in the lower spine and in the hips. And from that study, the report, the outcome, is a T-score for the DEXA. So what a T-score is that it compares your bone density with that of a healthy young adult of your sex. And it basically is a report of how many standard deviations below the bone density of a healthy young adult are you. So every older person is going to have a T-score that is negative because every older person has a bone density that is less than a healthy young adult of their sex, male or female. But the question is, how much lower are you? So if your T-score is above minus one, so if you are within one standard deviation of the bone density score of the healthy young adult, your bone density is still considered to be in the normal range. If your T-score is between minus one and minus 2.5, so if you're between one and 2.5 standard deviations below the bone density of a young adult, that is considered osteopenia. And then if your T-score is below 2.5, so if you are more than 2.5 standard deviations worse in bone density, that is considered osteoporosis. A DEXA scan also reports something else that is called a Z-score. So the Z-score compares your bone density with that of somebody who is your age. Also, your sex, male or female, also your weight and your ethnicity. So there, the comparison is not how are you doing compared to a normal person, a normal younger person. The comparison is how are you doing compared to other people your age who are similar to you. And so if you're a lot worse than other people your age who are similar to you, then they start to get concerned that there might be something other than what's kind of considered garden variety osteoporosis. Thinning bones due to the drop in sex hormones and age, and they start looking for other potential causes of additional bone loss. So let me just say a few more words about these terms, osteoporosis and osteopenia. People sometimes want to know, you know, are there signs and symptoms? Or if I feel achiness in my bones, does that mean I have osteoporosis or osteopenia? And the answer is no. There are no symptoms, actually, of osteoporosis or osteopenia. There's no pain until there is a fracture. Now, people who have thinner bones, osteopenia or osteoporosis, are prone to get fractures easily. They can either happen when they didn't particularly fall or have a blow to the bone. That happens especially in the vertebral spine as people get older. But the pain there is actually from the fracture, not from the osteopenia or osteoporosis itself. But when people have fractures related to osteopenia and osteoporosis, those are called fragility fractures. And this is often the very first sign, actually, of osteoporosis. This is when people get diagnosed, is when they have a fragility fracture. So how do we define a fragility fracture? These are fractures that occur spontaneously or due to small to medium impact. So for instance, if a person falls from standing and they break their wrist or their upper arm or their hip, that is considered a fragility fracture. Whereas if a person fractures something from something that's considered high impact, like a motor vehicle accident, or they were skiing really fast and hit the ground or a tree, that's not considered a fragility fracture. That's considered high impact and something that would cause fractures in people, you know, of normal bone density, basically. So fragility fractures, we see them most often in the vertebral spine. These are sometimes called compression fractures. They can cause people to become shorter as they age or possibly like hunched over in the back. They happen to the hip. They happen to the wrist. They can also affect the arm, such as the upper arm, the humerus, the ribs, or the pelvis. People sometimes get a crack or a fracture in their pelvis from falling, and that would also be considered a fragility fracture. So if somebody gets a fragility fracture, they can be diagnosed with osteoporosis, even if we don't yet have a DEXA scan. And then let me just briefly explain two types of osteoporosis and also osteopenia that I want you to be aware of. So, you know, osteopenia to osteoporosis, it's basically a question of spectrum and degree, right? The bones are less dense as we get older. When they reach a certain point, it's osteopenia. And if they get worse than that, it's osteoporosis. So primary osteoporosis is what I think of as kind of garden variety osteoporosis that affects people as they get older. So this means the bone density has declined due to a decline in sex hormones. So again, women, unless they're on hormone replacement therapy, experience this at menopause. And then both men will experience generally men have their testosterone slowly going down throughout their lives. They just don't experience as significant a drop as women in midlife. But by the time we get to people being in their late 70s, 80s, sex hormones have gone down enough. And there are also other age-related changes, and people can get osteoporosis from that. So if that's the cause of the drop in bone density, that's called primary osteoporosis. But sometimes people are actually having their bones get thinner for other reasons. And this is called secondary osteoporosis. So that regulation in the body of the process of breaking down bone and rebuilding it is quite complicated, is regulated by all kinds of factors in the body, which I will not go into right at this moment. But if there's something there that is causing people to break down more bone than they are building up, that would be secondary osteoporosis. And there are several medical conditions that can cause this, or it can be due to some really poor lifestyle choices. So some of the medical causes that we see are, one condition is something called hyperparathyroidism. So your parathyroid glands are these little glands over here, kind of very close to the thyroid. They make a hormone that's called parathyroid hormone, and that affects bone metabolism quite a lot. And if those glands get overactive and make too much of that hormone, your osteoclasts, the cells that break down bone in your body, will get hyperactive. They'll break down a lot of bone. They will raise your calcium level. That's part of how we diagnose this condition. Cancers can also cause a thinning of bones and kind of hyperactivity of those bone cells that break down the bone. Certain medications make bones thinner, notably steroids, glucocorticoids, steroid medications such as prednisone. So I'm not talking about the bulk up the muscles steroids. I'm talking about the ones we give as anti-inflammatories, especially to people who have autoimmune diseases. So being on those long-term, that's a known side effect of those medications, is that they cause osteoporosis. They thin the bones. Alcoholism. Drinking a lot of alcohol over years and years also affects the bones quite badly as well. So when we discover that somebody has low bone density, we always want to check and make sure there's not a secondary cause before we just go assuming that it's garden variety primary osteoporosis. Or if we find osteoporosis in somebody who's younger, under 50, we would suspect a secondary cause as well. So given all that, how do you improve bone density if you want to keep your bones as strong as possible as you're getting older, which I think is a very worthy goal because fractures are bad news in late life. So really, every older adult, male and female, should be pursuing lifestyle measures to try to maintain bone density starting in midlife. The more you maintain that bone density and slow the decline, the better off you are later on in life, because doing this helps reduce your risk of fractures and it otherwise improves your health, because as you'll see, the lifestyle measures that help maintain bone density are going to be good for your health in many other ways as well. And we also have very effective medications that boost bone density. So in geriatrics, we're often cautious about medications, less is more. And this is a situation where it has been shown repeatedly that often medication, especially once people's bones have gone quite thin, can be extremely worthwhile in terms of reducing fracture risk. So it is something that you're going to want to consider if you are a person who has been diagnosed with osteoporosis, meaning that your DEXA score is less than minus 2.5, or if you've had a fragility fracture. Now, let me take you through what are the most effective measures to improve bone density. We're going to start with the lifestyle measures. So number one is exercise. Exercise is definitely proven to improve bone density. And there are a couple reasons for this. So it turns out that your bones get stimulated to build more bone when they experience mechanical stress. So weight bearing activity. So standing up and walking around helps maintain the bones. And what we have seen is that when astronauts go into space and they don't have gravity, their bones actually start thinning. People who are a little bit heavier, this is one situation where being a little heavier is better than being a little lighter. They tend to have stronger bones as well because, again, their bones are under more mechanical load carrying the weight. The other way that exercise helps bone density is that when you strength train, your muscles are attached to your bones, they pull on the bones, and that also stimulates the bones to make more bone and to sort of strengthen up a bit. So exercise for bone density has been studied, and what it looks like is that it's a combination of resistance exercise and impact exercise that is the most effective. So resistance exercise means strength training. Again, that's getting the muscles pulling on the bones. And then impact exercise is anything that generates, you know, an impact because that increases like extra force on there. So swimming, for instance, would not be considered an impact exercise. It does have resistance components and it's good for cardio as well. It's a great form of exercise, don't get me wrong. And if what you're trying to do is really kind of like work on bone density, something beyond swimming would be a good idea. And that's because, again, weight bearing stimulates the bones to strengthen. Resistance exercises pull on the bones. So something you can do if you're really working on boosting that bone density is considering adding more weight to any activity you are already doing. So if you're walking, if you carry some weight, you carry a backpack or a weighted vest or weights around your ankles and wrists, that is going to help stimulate bone, increase bone density as well. The added advantage of exercising is that it's generally going to improve your balance, your muscle strength, possibly also your flexibility, depending on the exercise you're doing. And that in of itself decreases fall risk because fractures happen because people first fall most of the time. And so decreasing your fall risk through more exercise is also a really great idea. So exercise just creates benefits all across the board. I mean, there are other benefits as well with exercise. You know, it's the number one thing to do if you want to age well, you know, is exercise. And if you want to know more about how to exercise, I have a video just about that. And I would, we'll have a link to it in the show notes. Okay, next thing that's really important when it comes to improving bone density is calcium and vitamin D. So you've probably heard it your whole life. Your bones need calcium, so true. And then vitamin D is really essential to how the body absorbs calcium, metabolizes calcium, and has other sort of benefits throughout the body as well. So no question that these are important for bone health. Now, where there's a little bit of controversy is in the value of supplementation, of taking calcium supplements and to a lesser extent, vitamin D supplementation. This has been studied in multiple randomized trials, and the results are kind of mixed. And the reason for this is that what really appears to be going on is that it's important to have enough calcium and vitamin D, and a certain number of the people who are in trials getting supplements already had adequate levels of calcium and vitamin D, and so adding on more is not helpful. So supplementation mainly seems to help those who were deficient or making an effort to take in more calcium and vitamin D because there are ways to take in these substances that don't require supplements. So Calcium in supplementation has been studied quite a lot. And what's interesting about calcium is people get it through their diet, especially through dairy products. That's generally the food that has the most calcium per serving. But it's also in certain vegetables, certain beans, certain nuts actually have calcium, or certain foods are fortified with calcium. And then there are various forms of calcium supplementation. And what has been found is that the calcium seems to be more effective in improving bone strength and reducing fractures when it's taken in through diet rather than through supplements. So the ideal is to get a good dietary intake of calcium and then avoid vitamin D deficiency. Now, for vitamin D, lots of people in modern times end up on the low side unless they take a supplement. So personally, you know, my advice to you would be see if you can get enough calcium through your diet. You want to aim for generally 1200 milligrams of calcium daily. And then it's totally fine to take a supplement of vitamin D. 600 to 800 international units should do it for the vast majority of people. Now, people sometimes think they need to take a lot more vitamin D. There's a minority of people who probably should take more vitamin D, but I have a video on vitamin D. There's been a lot of randomized control trials done on higher doses of vitamin D. And for most people, they don't help. There's actually even been shown in research a slight increase in falls and sometimes fractures with higher levels of vitamin D. So if you're wondering how much vitamin D to take, I recommend that video where I go into it in depth. And again, the dietary form seems to be most effective. And so most expert recommendations say, try to get as much as you can through your diet. And if you're not reaching 1200, take a supplement to kind of get you the rest of the way there. But it's preferred to really try to get a good chunk of it, at least half through your diet, and not just take 1200 milligrams of calcium supplementation every day right off the bat. Okay, and so that's it for calcium and vitamin D. So next thing that will really help you boost bone density is to be careful about alcohol and not smoke. So heavy alcohol use has been shown to definitely negatively affect the bones. Alcohol is basically a minor toxin for the body. And when you're taking in a lot of it, the toxic effects become more substantial. And they do alcohol does specifically affect the bones. So heavy alcohol use, meaning more than 3 drinks a day, decreases bone density, increases fracture risk. Also, you know, often associated with falls if, you know, people are intoxicated. Now, what's a little less clear is what is the impact of light alcohol use, meaning a drink a day, you know, or 1 to 2. With some studies associated with like a very small negative effect, other studies not. So I think the jury's out there. There are other reasons to, you know, minimize alcohol use or try to keep it, you know, in the light to moderate range. I would say the most important thing is to avoid heavy use, and less alcohol is probably going to be better for your bones. And then smoking. Smoking is also known to accelerate bone loss. Smoking creates a variety of inflammatory effects in the body that, you know, have a negative effect on, you know, pretty much every part of the body. Smoking is not good for you. You all know that. So if you are smoking, please try to get help with quitting smoking, and that will be good for your bones. And those are really the most effective lifestyle measures. Now, in a moment, I'm going to speak to a few other things that you may have heard about, which I think are less persuasive, less likely to be effective. But let me for now continue to talk about effective ways to boost your bone density. And so next, I want to talk about medications. So we always want to start with lifestyle measures. Start with those lifestyle measures. Starting earlier in life is definitely a good idea. And for certain people or at a certain point, it is important to consider medications, because medications, there are a couple types of medications that have been shown to be quite effective at increasing bone density, especially in people who are starting from a low place. So one type of medication that does this is hormone replacement therapy. This is something that especially women may start to manage symptoms of menopause or perimenopause. Estrogen is closely related to bone health. When women experience the drop in estrogen associated with menopause, it definitely affects their bones. And when women are on hormone replacement therapy to manage menopause, they experience much less bone loss. So this is an effective way to maintain or boost bone density. It has been shown to boost bone density also in women who have already lost some bone density. However, At this time, it is not recommended to prescribe estrogen hormone replacement therapy for the sole purpose of treating osteoporosis or preventing bone loss. So think of it more as if there are other reasons to be on HRT, this is a really important additional benefit that you will get out of the medication. And I haven't put it on my slide, but testosterone as well, for those men who are experiencing significant lower testosterone levels, testosterone replacement has shown to help with their bone density as well. And then we have medications that were specifically designed for osteoporosis. So the most commonly used ones are bisphosphonates, such as oral alendronate. The brand name for that is Fosamax. And these are considered first-line therapy for osteoporosis. They have been extensively studied, and they actually do work. They do improve bone density. The time to benefit is generally about a year. At the year mark in studies, we start seeing that women are having fewer fractures due to being on these medications. Now, these medications, I feel, have often kind of gotten a bad rap in the public. There have been some high-profile side effects. So, you know, a small minority of people will experience some side effects related to, you know, a type of like problem with like the bones in the jaw, or there's a small increased risk of an atypical type of fracture. But for the vast majority of people, they help. They increase bone density and they do prevent fractures. And so I do think it's important to consider these medications if you have been told that you have actual osteoporosis. Now, Fosamax, you know, you take it once a week, you have to sit up straight, take it with a glass of water. A lot of people find it difficult to stick with that, or especially people who are frailer or older, maybe having difficulty with their memory, may struggle with that. So it's important to know there's an alternative medication or type of bisphosphonate called zoledronic acid. The brand name used to be Zometa, and that's an infusion. They give it to you IV that you only have to get every 2 years or so. And that also has been shown to reduce fractures. So that's another option. Generally, you know, the insurers reserve it for people who weren't able to tolerate the oral bisphosphonate. And then if bisphosphonates aren't working or can't be tolerated, there are several other options as well. I'm not going to list them all here. Actually, if you'd be interested in my doing an episode just about osteoporosis medications and treatment, please let me know in the comments. So I know that's of interest and I could maybe do that, but there are other medications that can be tried as well. And then lastly, you know, before taking medications for osteoporosis, remember that it's important to have that medical evaluation so that they check and make sure that the osteoporosis isn't secondary to something like a medication or another medical problem, which if it's treated, is going to help your bones recover, at least respond more effectively to an osteoporosis medication. So in short, in my opinion, the very best ways to improve bone density as you get older are these. So first, there are the lifestyle measures that have the best evidence and the most value. Those are exercise, resistance training, plus impact exercise is what's most effective. It's aiming for good dietary intake of calcium, 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams a day, and avoiding vitamin D deficiency by taking 600 to 800 international units a day. If you're not taking in a dietary amount of calcium equal to 1,000 to 1,200, you can supplement as needed to get yourself there. Avoid heavy alcohol use, avoid smoking. And then you should know that the other way to improve bone density that's really effective and really moves the needle when people have actual osteoporosis is to use osteoporosis medications or hormone replacement therapy. And when people have osteoporosis, we generally want them to do both the lifestyle measures and the medication. That gives them their best chance at getting their bone density to build back up to reduce their risk of fractures in the coming years. Let me now speak to a couple other options you may have heard of that could potentially help with boosting bone density. Not going to lie, these are some things that I've come across, you know, on other YouTube videos on this topic. So I looked into them so that I could give you an informed opinion. These include things like reducing or avoiding caffeine. So this is out there because caffeine does increase the urinary excretion of calcium. And so the idea is, oh, well, if you're drinking coffee, instead of keeping the calcium in there and bulking up your bones, you're peeing it out. I looked into this, and you know, the estimate is that the amount of, first of all, if people are drinking a moderate amount of caffeine, caffeine overall actually has a good track record. It's associated with better brain health and a lot of better things when drunk in moderation, which is like 1 to 3 cups a day or something like that. So the consensus based on the research that I looked at is that, yes, there's a little increase in urinary calcium, but if you're just drinking lightly to moderately, overall, it shouldn't make that much of a difference. And you can also sort of have your coffee at a time different than when you're taking in the calcium product. So I don't think it's really worth worrying about all that much, unless you've been trying to, you know, take in enough calcium and doing all the things and still your bones aren't, you know, improving at the rate that you would like them to. I think it's maybe like overrated as an option to boost bone density. Another option you might hear about is increasing protein and collagen. So that's because your bones do use, your bone cells, you know, that whole mechanism that's building up your bones does require collagen and protein to do its work. And then they mineralize, you know, all this with calcium. However, it's not clear. It hasn't been shown in a randomized trial that increasing protein intake, you know, meaningfully improves bone density. I think it's important to avoid being protein deficient. But right now, it's just an association. Higher protein intake is associated, you know, with fewer fractures and better bone density. It's not like a proven cause and effect. So just something to keep in mind. And then I also see people sort of speaking to the importance of magnesium, vitamin K, zinc, copper. And when I took a look at the research, it seems that the evidence for these improving bone density and health outcomes is weak or inconsistent. So my take on all this is, first of all, you know, a good way to get your various vitamins and minerals is to eat a nutritious, varied diet with lots of whole foods, especially different like vegetables, you know, fruits, nuts, to get the calcium part. You know, it's great if you can include dairy, assuming that you tolerate dairy. And then take a good multivitamin. And that should minimize the chance of mineral deficiencies. Because again, you know, what we've essentially found is that it's an issue to be deficient in vitamins and minerals. But once people aren't deficient, adding on more usually does not improve health outcomes and sometimes can even sort of have like be associated with a little higher risk of problems. So try a good multivitamin. I personally liked the ones from Adapt Naturals. That's what we take in my household. And then combine eating enough protein with strength training, not so much, you know, to boost your bone health, but because it's really good for your health for other reasons, you know, keeping strong. It's one of the most important things to reduce falls and to maintain independence and keep doing the things you were able to do in midlife. And I do speak more about how much protein to take in my video that is about exercise, where I talk about strength training in depth. Lastly, I think caffeine in moderation should be fine for most people. So given all that, what should you do if you're concerned about your bones, either wondering is your bone density enough or wanting to avoid having thin bones later on in a fracture? Maybe you've been told that you might have osteopenia or osteoporosis. Here are my suggestions. So first of all, get screened for osteoporosis if it's recommended for you. So for quite a long time, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force and many other experts have recommended that all women age 65 plus get screened for osteoporosis with a DEXA scan. So if you are a woman 65 plus and you have never had a DEXA scan, you should get one. Now, what is less well established, but some experts are starting to argue for it, is screening men for osteoporosis. So some experts are now saying that maybe we should be doing DEXA scans on men once they are over 70, since a fair number of them are developing osteopenia or osteoporosis as they get into their later years. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force evaluated this question and decided that there was insufficient evidence. I think there just haven't been enough studies done on men in this age group. However, all experts agree that people who are at higher risk for osteoporosis, basically people who are at risk for secondary osteoporosis due to medications they're on, certain chronic diseases, or it would be like women with early menopause or who lost their ovaries, because that basically creates menopause for you right there, they should be screened for osteoporosis as well. Next thing to do is if you experience a fracture and you are an older adult, it's probably a good idea to get a DEXA. So this has been studied, but for a very long time, people would fall, get a hip fracture or other fragility fracture, get repaired by orthopedics, but not be referred for osteoporosis evaluation and treatment. And this is a failure. Most of those people, when they are studied with DEXA scans, do have osteoporosis and benefit from treatment. So this is something that we're trying to change in healthcare now, you know, consistently doing osteoporosis evaluation and treatment for people, older adults who have had fractures, especially fragility fractures, but it doesn't always happen. So I'm just telling you, if you've had a fracture, especially a fragility fracture, if you're told you've had a vertebral compression fracture, a wrist fracture, a hip fracture, ask, well, does this mean I might have, you know, osteoporosis? First of all, if you had a fragility fracture, generally, yes. You know, the DEXA scan is good to see where your bone density is at. And because you can be reevaluated a few years later to see if the treatment approach has worked and if your bone density is better. So if you get a fracture, I recommend a DEXA. And consider treatment with osteoporosis drugs. The lifestyle measures are great. And if you've actually gotten to the point of having a fragility fracture, one of the strongest predictors of whether somebody will have a hip fracture or other fragility fracture is already having had one. So that's when it can be really worthwhile to consider those medications. I know a lot of people don't want to take medication. I wouldn't tell you to consider it unless I thought it was really worthwhile for most of you. And I do. So in short, to recap, the very best ways to strengthen your bones as you get older, to prevent fractures, maintain independence and well-being, is to be aware of these factors. So the most effective lifestyle measures are going to be exercise, resistance training plus impact exercise is most effective, and then ensuring adequate calcium intake, aiming for 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams a day. Use supplements as needed to get there. And then avoiding vitamin D deficiency by taking a supplement, 600 to 800 international units per day is good for most people. Avoid heavy alcohol use or smoking. If you are drinking a lot, please seek out help to help you taper down to a safer level or ideally stop. If you're smoking, likewise, please talk to your health providers and get support to quit smoking. And then also very effective to keep in mind is osteoporosis medications for people who have had fragility fractures or have a DEXA showing osteoporosis. And then hormone replacement therapy is another thing that definitely strengthens the bones as well. And so with that, I'm going to wrap this up. Hopefully this has given you lots of good information so that you can maintain your bone density as you get older. Thank you so much for watching. If you found this video podcast helpful, if you're here on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already done so. You can also support the work I'm doing by becoming a member of the Better Health While Aging video channel. Just click join under the video for more information about that. If you've been listening to the audio version on the podcast feed, please come and take a look at the video. When you get a chance, you'll see my key points being displayed on the screen. So thank you once again for being here. I look forward to seeing you all again on a future episode of the Better Health While Aging video podcast.